Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.04% APR for 36 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I am an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the bonjour to my chow, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
Good. I thought I was going to be the Bon Jovi to your Richie Sambora. Not
the
quite.
Bono.
This is the way you were starting there with the
Bono to my edge. That's
sure.
What you are. It's a beautiful day.
I'll go with that.
Keith, we are back on the Pop Shop Podcast. Well, I should say I am back on the Pop Shop Podcast. You have been manning this beautiful podcast for 3 weeks without me. Keith, I thank you from the bottom of my soul. And I'm happy to be back, man. I got hitched. I got married. And then I went away to Europe for a couple weeks. And it's funny because I was back last week. But I got back on Monday night, and since we taped the show on Monday afternoon, I was not able to join in to the Pop Shop Podcast last week either. So now I'm officially back. I'm very happy to be back. Keith, how was it without me? Were you guys like celebrating my the lack of Jason, the lack of sports references and whatnot?
No, I found it actually, honestly, to be incredibly stressful. because if you're listening to the show, and we appreciate that, the vast majority of the podcast is kind of directed and scripted by Jason, and most of the guests that you hear on the show are wrangled and interviewed by Jason. So when he goes away for 3 weeks, I'm suddenly left like holding the bag, and I'm like, ah, crap. So it was quite challenging. So I'm very happy that he's back.
Man, it's funny because you mentioned a couple weeks ago. So and first of all, thank you so much to Katie Atkinson, who is in the LA office, senior editor, who did a tremendous job in my place over the last couple weeks. You guys were hilarious. And what I was going to say is, I listened to the show while I was in Europe.
Which people, I still don't know why you would have done that, but I appreciate the thought.
Well, here's the thing. So each day and each night, we would, my wife and I can say wife now. I know. It's now no longer fiance, no longer girlfriend. It is wife. Each day, my wife and I would go out and explore. We went all around France and Italy, which is why I said Keith is the bonjour to my chow. We went out and did the whole sightseeing things, and we ate a ton of food. I'm a lot fatter than I was a couple weeks ago right now. And so we'd get back, and the only time we would have any kind of Wi-Fi or any kind of internet over there was when we'd get back to our hotel. So I wasn't exactly like on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, but I was, you know, checking in a little bit. And a couple days after the first podcast posted, I remember I was like, oh man, there's a new Pop Shop Podcast. So of course I'm going to listen to it. Like, how am I not going to listen to the Pop Shop Podcast, especially when you had Darren Criss on, which I was unaware that you booked Darren Criss for the show. So it was great, man. And
yeah, he was unaware that he was booked for the show until shortly before I spoke to him.
Well, that's kind of fine. I mean, the show is great, and we appreciate everyone who listened for the past couple weeks. We have a really fun show today.
A really fun show.
And jam-packed as always. Keith, you got some great guests. Well, I come back from Europe, and Keith's like, oh, yeah, we got some awesome guests for next week, like brushing his shoulder off a little bit. Can you tell us who we have this week
on the Podcast? Oh, yeah. So this week on the show, I thought you were talking about last week when we had Duran Duran.
We had Duran Duran. See, I can't even keep track with all your magnificence.
Yeah. So this week on the show, we have interviews with, believe it or not, Kylie Minogue and Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters. Not together, separate, but both in the same show. I'm a huge fan of Kylie. I'm a huge fan of Jake. And so it was a lovely, lovely opportunity to be able to have both of them as guests on the show. What else did you want to know about this?
I love it, man. I'm a big fan of both Scissor Sisters and Kylie Minogue. And one of my favorite shows I've ever seen is actually a Kylie Minogue show. I've never seen Scissor Sisters live.
Oh, they're great. And I should have said why we're talking. Kylie has a new three-song sort of mini EP that she put out with Fernando Garibay. He's a producer and songwriter. And that came out a couple weeks ago, kind of dropped out of the sky. So I wanted to talk to her about that. And she talks about that. And then Jake is on a new single, which happens to feature Kylie Minogue as well. They're also good friends in real life. It's called The Other Boys, and it's Nervo featuring Kylie Minogue, Jake Shears, and Nile Rodgers. And so he talked about that and also his upcoming plans. He's got a lot of stuff in the works. That's what we talked about. And there you go.
Very cool. So we will hear that later in the show. Before that, we will get to Hot 100, some soon-to-be hits, Billboard 200, and a lot of chart goodness. I've missed the chart goodness, and I'm happy to be back.
We were kind of light on the chart talk while you were gone, which is kind of ironic.
I noticed that. I know. Hey, that's okay. That's why we're back. We're refocusing. I'm excited to get to it. Before we start, of course, if you love the Pop Shop Podcast as much as we do, maybe even more than we do somehow, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes because that makes us cry tears of joy. If you have any questions for Keith or myself, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. And if you want to explore the entirety of the Billboard podcast realm, go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Realm.
It was what was that again? Say the URL one more
time.
The
entire iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts.
See, I talked over you when you did that.
I know.
When you said that, when you said realm, all I could immediately think of was Mariah Carey's new what's the name of the video game that she's hawking now?
I have no idea. Is this something that happened while I was in Europe?
Is she selling video games? You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh,
but
okay, well, anyway, people. Now I see I have to find it. Mariah Carey video games. I should know this.
Before we start,
Game of War. You know, she's in the bustier and she's on the field with a sword.
She's in Game of War commercials now. I was not aware of that.
She replaced the sort of the buxom blonde model that used to be the woman in the
commercials. I did not know that. There you go. It you know what's been funny is that I. When I say I checked in on like Twitter and stuff, I really was not plugged into like the pop music world whatsoever for 2.5 weeks between my wedding and the honeymoon. And it was really strange getting back last week and finding out things that I had missed. Like I had no idea, and we'll get to it in a second, that Ellie Goulding dropped a new track until like last Friday because I missed that part of the news cycle. And it's strange kind of being disconnected from it when we're so steeped in it all the time.
Strange and somehow, like, you know, all right at the same time.
Oh, it was very, very all right. But anyway, we're back. Hot 100, The Weeknd. You know, he was number one last week with The Hills. He is number one this week with The Hills. And
Are alive one of the things, sound of The Weeknd.
Keith, one of the things I wanted to get to in a show, but I guess we never did because the timing is like big winners from the summer, and I was thinking about this, and I was like, I wish we had done that before I left, or wish we had talked about it, or whatnot. It's a little too late to do that, but I gotta say, the weekend's gotta be number one, right? I mean, just looking back at the summer of 2015, even though he did not have the song of the summer,
that would be Omi, who you picked to be song of the summer.
Yeah,
let's just reflect on that one more time.
my Omi prediction from May.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Sorry.
I love it, man. No, I was not going to bring that up, but I'm very happy you did. I did call Omi cheerleaders on
the
summer.
Yes, The Weeknd did have a big summer, and he took it to the next level, as the kids say.
Well, he would have had a big summer without The Hills. That's the crazy thing. If you think about Can't Feel My Face becoming his first number one single on the Hot 100, if you think about Beauty Behind the Madness becoming his first number one album on the Billboard 200, It's just been phenomenal for him. He had the second biggest album debut of the year, and now he has another song at number one. I mean, we talk about, and we're not going to dwell on this too much because this show is not just hooray for The Weeknd, which it has been kind of the last couple months.
We've recently renamed the show to the Weeknd Shop Podcast.
Hooray, The Weeknd Shop Podcast.
Weeknd Shop. Anyway.
A little bit lower on the Hot 100, Taylor Swift. You might have heard of her as well. She comes back into the top 10 with Wildest Dreams, the fifth single from 1989 and the fifth top 10 hit from 1989. That moves, it seems, to number 10 this week, Keith?
It does. It goes 13 to 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. It is up, it's up across the board in streams, airplay, and sales. So, as you often ask me, hey, is it because of this? I'm like, actually, the song is just sort of, it's steadily growing. It had that big whoosh after the video came out a couple weeks ago, and now it's actually kind of firmly establishing itself as a hit.
Yeah, well, to me, it's almost more impressive than something like a Shake It Off or a Bad Blood, something that's incredibly poppy and just a no-brainer radio hit. Wildest Dreams is a different look for her, and
it's Taylor Swift kind of channeling a Lana Del Rey vibe.
Yeah,
and that exactly. In itself is kind of challenging because, ballads, and it's sort of slower, and it has this kind of like moody, vibey thing happening. So I think that, like you're saying, it could present a challenge to top 40 radio, especially when, it's everything is so like fast. It's harder for like a ballad to break in there.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Has she ever had one of her slower songs become that much of a chart hit? Because I'm thinking like Begin Again from Red was, it debuted strong because it was the second song released from Red before the album came out. But it wasn't as big as something like I Knew Your Trouble.
Back to December, is that?
Back to December was the other one that came to mind.
I mean, Today Was a Fairy Tale's kind of, but these are,
15, I guess 15, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially coming after Shake It Off, Blank Space, Style, and Bad Blood. I mean, Style is certainly slower than the other ones, but, they're all certainly up-tempo.
Yeah.
And I think she probably figured, well, look, I've had these four huge hits, all of which went to number one on the pop songs airplay chart. She could probably, take a chance and release something a little bit, slower.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were surprised when Wildest Dreams became the fifth single. I know a lot of people were thinking about like something more, again, up-tempo, like New Romantics is right there as well from the deluxe edition.
The whole
edition,
album is full of singles, really.
It's very true. Yeah. A little bit lower, Ellie Goulding, who the aforementioned Ellie Goulding debuts at number 22 with her
song that may or may not be about someone.
I heard specific. That. It's funny because we were, I was listening
it's
to the song.
On My Mind, did we say that?
Yeah, it is called On My Mind. It debuts at number 22. We were listening to, my friend and I were listening to this song. Or wait, was it my, I forget who I was listening to.
Was it your
this
wife?
Song. I forget who I was listening to the song to, but song, anyway. So the other person was like, is this song about, and I was like, I don't know. So, On My Mind debuts at number 22, and the intrigue continues.
Should we say who it's rumored to be about, or are we like avoiding that with some sort of like reason on the show?
No, we can say
it's allegedly supposed to be possibly about Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
because his song "Don't" is that correct?
Yeah,
was perhaps about Ellie Goulding. In her lyrics of On My Mind, she describes someone with a lot of tattoos. You could read it to be about anyone, I suppose, and maybe it's just sort of inspired by past events with someone who's not Ed Sheeran. Who knows?
I really like this song. I don't know if it's as immediate as something like a Lights or Burn, but happy to see Ellie back, and can't wait to hear more from her next album, her next project. I'm excited for some more Ellie Goulding, man.
You're excited.
I am excited. So, Keith, we'll get into this maybe more next week, but I wanted to ask because as someone who's been a little bit unplugged from the charts, it seems like a lot of the top 10, aside from Wildest Dreams, which crashes into the top 10, and you see a couple things that are knocking on the door of the top 10, like Shawn Mendes' Stitches, you see a lot of the same songs that have been there for the past couple months right now. It's a little bit of a static top 10. You still have Can't Feel My Face, and the new one obviously being What Do You Mean by Justin Bieber, which is at number 2 still. But, you know, Silento's still there. And I'm curious as to what you think, just listening to pop radio and whatnot, what song or songs you think is going to really make a big fall push, like what
song of the fall? It starts now.
I would not say song of the fall. Maybe like legend of the fall. What will be a legendary fall song? No, I'm kidding.
We're already starting this. If we can have song in the summer, we can have like freaky single of the fall.
If you think about, I mean, the obvious one is Bieber. What Do You Mean? Which is already a huge hit, and it makes the top 10 this week at radio songs. If I was looking at Gary's story correctly,
you may have been looking at it correctly. as I quickly, yeah, it goes to number 9 this week, 11 to 9 on the pop songs airplay chart.
Okay, so yeah, I'm curious, like what do you have any inkling as to something in the maybe in the top 20, yes, the top 40?
I will start talking now.
Cool.
My pick for what I think could actually be a powerful hit for the fall is Major Lazer's Powerful.
Oh, interesting.
Which happens to feature Ellie Goulding as well. I think, you know, coming after Lean On, which was a huge hit and went to number 1 on our pop songs airplay chart, and it's just one of those songs that is an evergreen track where I don't think people will tire of it because there's always something cool to hear in the song even after repeated plays, and that's the same thing that's happening with Powerful. For what it's worth, Powerful, where is it at on the Hot 100 this week? It actually debuts at number 95.
Okay.
It's Major Lazer featuring Ellie Goulding and another Taurus. I can't pronounce. Let me see if I pronounce this correctly. I apologize. Well, I suck. But it features Ellie Goulding. And sorry, my computer is not helping me right now. But I think it's just one of those songs where it's going to, like, it's Major Lazer and Diplo's moment right now where, like, his sound is colliding in the right way with Top 40 Radio. And I think this is one of those tracks that's going to, like, hang on for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks and probably, you know, throughout the Thanksgiving holiday season, I would imagine.
Interesting. That's a good choice. I wasn't thinking about that. The one I wrote 2 down for myself just because I wanted to. The two that... I think we've actually mentioned both of these on Soon to Be Hits, and we'll get to Soon to Be Hits in a second. But Alessia Cara's Here is as of last week, I think it was number 55 on the Hot 100. I just see this song growing and growing and growing. People are in love with this song, and it's so hard to get sick of this song just because the performance, the vocal take, the beat is just so hypnotic. I think that this song is going to be, like, mark my words, top 10. I can't imagine this song kind of petering out when it has this much momentum. It also just sounds like a fall song. It sounds like a song soundtracking lame college parties, right? Like that's the vibe I get.
That's part of the reason why I picked Powerful, because it sounds like it has kind of that autumnal vibe, which,
yeah,
I know sounds dorky to say, but certain songs can have that kind of autumnal, collegiate, back to schoolish kind of,
yeah,
warmth to them. And I think there's a reason why, you know, summery songs sometimes sound like party reggae jams, and sort of fall winter songs kind of evoke a different kind of feeling because of the seasons and the weather and your mood and your spirit. And by the way, powerful, the gentleman on there is named Terrace Riley.
There you go.
See, I brought it all back.
And just the other one I wanted to mention was Levels by Nick Jonas. I'm not sure this is going to be a huge hit, but I know it feels like something that's going to persist in October, November.
And that was on my list too.
There you go.
I thought Nick Jonas is having like super moment. By the way, Nick Jonas hugged me at the iHeart Radio.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he walked because you can watch the video on billboard.com, but you know, when he came up, like his publicist, you know, obviously said, "Oh, it's, you know, Keith at Billboard." And he's like, "Oh, hey man." And he like, you know, like did that sort of like bro embrace hug thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, hey." And I think it was just because he remembered me from the podcast interview like 2 months ago. When I interviewed him in person for the podcast. And then I interviewed him like 3 weeks ago when he was the music curator for Miss America. So I've now talked to Nick Jonas like 3 times in the past 2.5 months. So we're BFFs.
Awesome, man.
But yeah, Levels is, he's taken to the next level, and it's the first single from his next album, which comes out early next year. So that's pretty awesome. I think maybe the Naughty Boy track with Beyonce, maybe that could do something just because it's Beyonce. I don't know. I feel like that could turn into something. It debuts on the Hot 100 this week. It's her 41st Hot 100 hit, so maybe that's going to turn into something.
Exactly. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. But speaking of hits that are not hits quite yet, they might be not in the top 20. They might not be on the top 40. Might not be on the Hot 100 whatsoever right
now.
They
might not have been released yet, but we're going to talk about them.
This segment is Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we got two good ones for soon-to-be hits. I will defer to you to get the ball rolling.
All right, so my soon-to-be hit this week is actually Becky G, Break a Sweat. If you're familiar with Becky G, or maybe if you're not familiar with her, her signature hit at this point is Shower, which is one of those earworm songs.
Best
that
song ever, yeah.
Really should have been a bigger hit. It was kind of like a middling hit, but it's still kind of like, you know, made everyone take notice of who she was and realize there's something special about her. And she's sort of yet to find that one huge hit. Break a Sweat this week debuts on our Pop Songs Airplay chart. I believe it's her third or fourth hit on the chart. It's one of those like chanty cheerleader type songs. It kind of reminds me of Tony Basil's Mickey crossed with like a Taylor Swift song ish. I'm not sure if this is going to be the one that does it for her, but I think it's like a continuing, like it's part of like this continuing Becky G, like, you know, quality pop material that's coming from her. So that's my pick for this week's soon to be hit, Becky G's Break a Sweat.
Love Becky G, love Break a Sweat. My soon to be hit pick is a song I've been hyping on Billboard.
Me too. I've written about this song too in some other venues on Billboard.
Well, I will take ownership of the hype machine.
Can we both take ownership? We both agree this is a quality soon to be hit.
Quality soon to be hit. The artist is Daya. The song is called Hideaway, and Daya is a teenage pop singer songwriter from Pittsburgh. This is her debut single, and we actually debuted Daya's debut EP on Billboard.com, so check that out. We'll link to it in the podcast post. But it's a great song. It's one of those songs that is very cleverly written and very, you know, tongue in cheek, a little sardonic. I just think that it's really catchy as well. And it was at 97 on the Hot 100 last week. Keith informs me that this week it falls off the Hot 100 chart,
but it still has an overall gain in points. It was just a very busy week on the chart.
Okay, so let's get that Hideaway action going. It seems like we also got like a lot of stats about this song being Shazammed a lot. Is that a thing?
People like to talk about how it's a thing. It's one of those things where it's just she's an unknown artist, so a lot of people are still trying to figure out who she is.
When you're listening to the radio with grandpa and grandpa's like, "Who is that?" And holds up his phone and hits Shazam and it's, "Oh, it's Daya, Hideaway." So
wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet you didn't know I could do that impression. Anyway, Becky G, Break Sweat, Daya, Hideaway, both great songs, and this week's soon-to-be hits.
By the way, I want to also add that Hideaway was co-written by Leland.
Yes.
You're familiar with
this person. Go ahead. Tell our listeners.
Brett McLaughlin, I believe, is his actual name. I think. And he also co-wrote material on Troye Sivan's most recent EP.
Yeah, very cool. And it definitely seems like this song is going to go places, hopefully. Fingers crossed for Break a Sweat as well. Really like that song. Anyway, Keith, Billboard 200 albums chart. So earlier this year, we talked about Drake hitting a number one on the albums chart. Earlier this year, we talked about Future hitting number one on the albums chart. Now we have to talk about Drake and Future hitting number one on the albums chart together with What a Time to Be Alive. You wrote about it this week.
I did. It's sort of like a nutty... look, there's volume and stuff to this computer. I apologize. Future and Drake debut at number one with What a Time to Be Alive. It is the third biggest debut of the year overall, in terms of overall units. And it also had the second biggest sales week of the year. It did 334,000 in pure album sales and 375,000 in overall units. Funny enough, the other biggest sales week of the year was Drake's other surprise album.
Yep.
If you're reading this, it's too late, which did... more.
It certainly did.
495,000 copies in its first week. I did a story where I just kind of like rattled off the fun facts about this. I don't want to necessarily bore you to pieces. What do you think is the most interesting sort of tidbit about this? You know, the fact that they've both had number one albums in the same calendar year, both Drake and Future. The fact that, Drake... Basically, the trick to releasing a successful album in 2015 is being making it a surprise album.
I feel like the trick is being Drake.
That's what we joked about last week with Katie. The trick is you just have to be Drake. That's pretty much it.
It's crazy. I mean, it's funny because a lot of hip hop fans were arguing on Twitter because this project, What a Time to Be Alive, sounds more like a Future album than a Drake album. It sounds more like Future featuring Drake than Drake featuring Future. And it's just, mostly because of the production. Metro Boomin did the majority of this production. And a lot of people were like, well, you know, Future is kind of having a career renaissance and Drake is hopping on his back. And I would argue that, you know, maybe a little bit creatively, but if you just look at where Drake is right now, as just a superstar, there's not many hip hop artists who have ever done what he is doing right now in terms of commercial viability, in terms of just cranking out material and having that material, no matter what it is, sell like gangbusters. It's funny. One of the things I wrote down was Drake did a cover story with The Fader, which a great read. Check that out. And it was a really interesting interview. And one of the things that he did not say, but which the interviewer pointed out, was that it's just fun to be a Drake fan. It's really fun to be a Drake fan because he just does so many things. Like, Drake has an album coming out probably later this year called Views from the Six. But he was like, I really wanted something for the beginning of the year to start off 2015, right? So he did If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. He's like, I wanted to make something with Future. So they made this in like a couple days in a studio. It's kind of crazy, man.
It is crazy.
I mean,
what a time to be alive.
What a time to be
a Drake fan.
To be a Drake fan. So congrats to Drake and Future. Also on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Keith, Lana Del Rey debuts with Honeymoon, an album that came out while I was on my honeymoon. Where does it debut in the top 10?
Ayo, number 2 with 116,000 units, of which 105 were in pure album sales. Those two albums, Drake and Future and Lana Del Rey, are 2 out of 7 debuts in the top 10 this week.
What else we got?
Quickly, Mac Miller, Good AM, debuts number 4. David Gilmour debuts number 5 with Rattle That Lock. Shinedown debuts number 6 with Threat to Survival. Ryan Adams debuts his interpretation of Taylor Swift's 1989 album at number 7.
No, hold up. Ryan Adams
Recorded
a cover album? No different continent could have hid that news from me.
I was going to say, I'm like, you stop it. Taylor Swift's own 1989 album is actually one step behind him at number 8. And then the last debut in the top 10 is at number 10, Andy Mineo. He's a Christian hip-hop artist, debuts at number 10 with Uncomfortable.
It's funny because you know what I realized yesterday? I was thinking about it. It just because they were released within the same Grammy calendar year, there is like a way in which Ryan Adams' 1989 could be like nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys, and Taylor Swift's 1989 could not be. It won't happen, but like technically it could happen. Which
dear
is
listeners,
hilarious.
Dear listeners, Jason did not listen to last week's Pop Shop podcast when I spoke about this very same topic.
Really? Wait, really? It cannot be an Album of the Year nominee?
No, I said that wouldn't it be cool or interesting if Ryan Adams' 1989 album was nominated for a Grammy Award, say, in like Rock Album of the Year, and the same year that Taylor Swift is up for presumably Album of the Year, because how can 1989 possibly not be nominated for Album of the Year? And have we ever had anything like this happen before? Basically, this whole cover album thing, it's so unique and so different. All the questions involved: has this ever been done before? Has anyone ever been in the top 10 before with two different albums by two different people? You know, the same album by two different people. Has anyone ever been nominated for a Grammy? But it's just going to keep going on and on as the, you know, the interest continues to swell around it.
Crazy. Anyway, Keith, we have got to get to Kylie Minogue, and you talked to Kylie Minogue, one of my favorite pop artists. What did you guys talk about? I actually do not know.
It's ridiculous. Well, yeah, it's true because you didn't talk to her. And I haven't told you, really. Kylie released a surprise, because it's, you know, the trend to release surprise stuff. She released a surprise three-song mini EP a couple weeks ago called Kylie Plus Garibay. And that stands for Kylie Minogue and Fernando Garibay. It features three tracks on it that they worked on over the past year or so. The tracks all have special guests on them. Shaggy, Giorgio Moroder, and Sam Sparrow. So they're sort of a motley crew of folks. And they'd been working on it, and this wasn't part of a larger project or anything. It was just them wanting to do some music together. And it's really cool. I think if you're a Kylie fan, you'll love it. And even if you're not, I think it's totally worth checking out. It's like this effortless pop music. And, you know, it's Kylie, for Pete's sakes. So I talked to her about that. And she hinted at how there's possibly some new music coming before the end of the year, possibly themed around a holiday. You might be able to guess what that means.
All right, man. Here is Kylie Minogue on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Welcome, Kylie Minogue, to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so super stoked that I get to talk to you. I'm such a fan.
You're super stoked. I love it.
Super stoked. you're in London right now, correct?
I'm in London, yeah.
Can you set the scene for me? Is it like a glamorous location, or is it an office somewhere?
Well, I'm at a recording studio, weirdly enough. And actually, it's a really nice one. It's Psalm Music Village, which is anyone who knows about recording studios in London, Psalm has been for many, many years a really famous studio, and this is a new one that they've opened. I've been here for a while, recording some bits and pieces, which I can't tell you much about. But so here I am in a studio. Is it glamorous? Well, I think that even if the studio is really kind of shabby, I always find there's some glamour, because what you're making is music, and you're putting something down that will be, you know, hopefully forever. So I always find some glamour in it. But I have to say, this is very nice here.
And also, you're there, so it's a little bit more glamorous already. So, you know.
Oh, thanks. I might mislead you or paint a bit of a lie and say that I am, in fact, very glamorous at the moment, but no, I'm not. I'm never that glamorous when I'm actually recording.
So we're talking together, obviously, about the new Kylie and Garibay project that came out like a week or two ago, kind of
yes.
Dropped out of the blue or into the blue as one could say. Hey,
yes.
Oh, I've got jokes. I had read that this was this three-song project was kind of an extension of the Sleepwalker EP that came out a year ago. Did I read correctly? Did it all kind of start more than a year ago?
Yeah, well, actually, I think it was a year ago, today, it might have been a year ago today, I opened my Kiss Me Once tour in the UK. God, I can't believe that. That was a year ago. And what we did for that was the Sleepwalker Project, which was three songs, like a mix of three songs. I did a video specific to those tracks, which was played before the concert. So it was just an additional thing for the audience. We loved doing that, and it really was more of a passion project. And we got such a good response from that. A lot of fans saying we want more. And I'm sure you know that Fernando is quite prolific. He never seems to stop. And so we always felt like we wanted to do more. And we just, it was a beautiful thing because we did it in our own time. Whenever I was in LA, I would drop by his home studio, which is a lovely place to be anyway. And really, there was no pressure. It was just about expression and kind of mashing things up and seeing if there were other contributors who would be part of this project. And I ended up with three very different men featuring on the three current tracks. So it was definitely a project that was just out of love and intrigue and what could we come up with. And Fernando's just adorable, so it was really fun.
Why is it black or white? Let me take you back tonight. Let me bring you back to life. Let me put the spark in your life.
I was actually talking to Shaggy last weekend in Las Vegas. And I brought up the song, and he said that, you know, he was thrilled to be on the track with you, and he really liked the groove of the track. And I think that's kind of a common thread through all three of the songs. They have this kind of vibe to them where they're kind of atmospheric, and they kind of just sort of lounge, but at the same time they're very stompy. It's kind of hard to put your finger on it, but they all kind of congeal together. And did you notice that too? Do you feel that they're all kind of a piece together?
I feel like they do all work together, and yet they're quite independent of each other. But Fernando and his little brilliant musical mind has given them an identity, even though that, you know, each track is different. I believe that they're in this kind of sonic zone that he's created for them.
I remember a few months ago when I saw the clips of you premiering Your Body in that club in Los Angeles with a lot of half naked go-go boys everywhere, which is
there was a lot.
That was a lot. And I was,
well, that was Fernando, Giorgio Moroder, and myself, and that's how cool those guys are, and just that was very much in the spirit of this project. I just shot a video, or my video with Giorgio for Right Here, Right Now in Los Angeles. And so the next day I was in with Fernando. And then, you know, I said, I've just met Giorgio, because I didn't meet him when I recorded. I only met him on the video day, and was saying how great he was and I loved his spirit and all of that. And then Fernando said, well, he was my mentor, and that he worked with him when he was 17 or something like that. I said, are you kidding me? Like, this little circle got even smaller. And he said, hey, do you think maybe he'd come and do something on this track? So we reached out directly to Giorgio. He said, yeah, love to. So he came by, and we said, we'd love to have you talking on this track. And he spent, gosh, I don't know, like 2 hours in the studio with us, writing, and on the phone with a friend of his, an Italian friend, to really make sure the Italian was right and was poetic and was everything that he wanted to say. And the rest of us in the studio were kind of going, oh my God, this is a real moment. Giorgio is just writing down stuff, and he's about to go in and do it, which he did. And I guess it was not long after that that I was going to appear at this club, and at the last minute said to Fernando, hey, do you want to come down? He said, yeah, love to. Maybe I can DJ. So he DJed. We said, let's ask Giorgio if he'll come down. And I mean, we weren't going there till about midnight. I thought, I don't know if Giorgio will do it. He was there. He was raving with everyone else. It was brilliant. You know, it was literally just between friends, between artists. It was lots of fun.
I think that sort of sums up the whole gist of this whole thing, where it's just, you know, musicians getting together and having a good time and doing fun music that they enjoy. And, you know, it's just, it's refreshing in a way. And I hope,
I think the fact that it has not been forced, I feel like fans sense that on the track or on the tracks, plural. And the response is just, we've been blown away with the positivity around the release and the songs, and it's a great feeling.
Might that mean, since we started this conversation, I know you have to go, since we started this conversation where you talked about how you're at a studio right now, and might this mean that there could be more music from you and Fernando in the future?
I'm pretty sure that Fernando and I will do something again in the future. I think the more time we spend with each other, the more we get to know each other. I adore him. I find being in the studio with him very easy, very inspiring. And, if we could keep building on that, on what we've done already, it would be amazing. And on top of that, he's got a dog that I absolutely am in love with, Maestro. So in our mini breaks, I just go and hang out with Maestro.
I want to say one last thing, and feel free to answer this however you'd like, but we've been reading lots of stuff in the press about how there might be a new album coming before the end of the year. Feel free to tell me nothing at all if you'd like, but can you say anything about future music that might be coming? Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Gosh, you really put me in a position now.
You don't have to say anything then.
Okay, I'll just be, you know, vague, as kind of cryptic as I can, which is not that cryptic at all, because I'm just going to say there's only so many days left in the year, and generally there's a big event at the end of the year that we look forward to, and I happen to be in a recording studio right now, which might have something to do with something before the end of the year. There we go.
I'll let you go now, but I want to say that in about 40 minutes, I'm talking to Jake Shears. He's coming into the office for the podcast as well. And
Will you give him a massive hug and kiss, if that works,
sure,
for him? I just want to mention that Sam Sparrow is amazing, and he just sounds so good on the track. Giorgio Moroder is a new friend, and I'm just – so thrilled to have him and his dulcet tones. And Shaggy on Black and White literally made that track just come to life, and I'm so thankful to the three of those artists for joining me on this project.
And I apologize, I would have asked you about all three, but I was fearful.
But I just kept going on about other things.
No, it was my fault. I apologize. So so the folks that are listening, it was my fault, and I should have been better with my time management.
No, not at all. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for everything.
Thank you so much, Kylie. Take care, okay?
Okay, you take care. Bye.
All right, thanks again to Kylie Minogue. That was awesome, man.
I know, I was so thrilled that she called, and I tried not to gush too much.
Oh, you were fine. I'd probably be just as bad. All right, so let's get to Jake.
Jake Shears, yes. It's a twofer this week. Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters, of course. But he's also doing some solo stuff on the side. The Scissor Sisters have been basically on hiatus the past 3 years, and in the interim, he's been working on some other stuff, one of which is a new single with Nervo, which happens to feature his good friend Kylie Minogue, and also Nile Rodgers. So we talked about how that song came together, and we also talked about how he has a new single with Tyga coming out soon. He's working on a musical with Elton John, which is nuts. And he is going to be in a one-night benefit reading of Gross Indecency, The Three Trials of Oscar Wilde, on October 5th in New York. So if there's tickets still available for this shindig, you should definitely check it out, October 5th, because it's not only him in this production, but also, get this, Sally Field, Judith Light, Michael C. Hall, Darren Criss, and Jonathan Groff, among others. So that's kind of crazy. So yeah, I was super stoked to talk to Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters.
Love it, man. A Pop Shop Podcast twofer, as you said, Jake Shears on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Welcome, Jake Shears, to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I like the way we've been talking before we turned on the recorder. So all of the getting to know you stuff has sort of been thrown out the window, unfortunately. So we're going to pretend like I'm getting to know you again.
No problem. There's still a lot more to know.
Yes. I was telling Jake before we started talking that I was talking to Kylie Minogue like an hour ago, who happens to be on the Other Boys track with you with Nervo. So it's a perfect little coincidence that you both happen to be talking to me in the same day.
That's awesome.
How did the Nervo track come together? Because that's primarily why that was the lure to get you in here, is because we're talking about the Nervo track that's working up the club charts right now.
Yeah, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah,
it seems like it's doing kind of well.
Top 25 right now. I think it went like 21 or 28, 21, something like that. I don't have the newest numbers. I'll have them, I think, tonight. But it's moving up the charts. It's you, Nervo, Kylie, and Nile Rodgers, which is like some weird, like, pop fantastical dream come to life. How did the song come together? Who called who?
I met the Nervo girls at a festival we were doing a festival together in Australia. I can't even remember what festival it was, but I met them like on the side of stage, and we just got on immediately, and they were super fun. And after we were finished with our sets, we just whooped it up for the rest of the day and had a great time. And we kept in touch. And whenever they were in LA, they would call and we'd hang out. And they're just a lot of fun. They're really, really nice girls. And when I moved to LA...
I thought you had lived in Los Angeles, but you used to live in New York and then you moved here?
I lived in New York for like 13 years and I moved here 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was a couple years ago, actually. They had a real rough demo of The Other Boys, and I went in and they asked me to do a vocal on it. And I went in, and it was a good song. It wasn't really what it is now. I mean, the song got really good, I think.
Were there lyrics that existed before you came in?
Yeah, and it was just they'd written it already.
Oh, okay.
And it was just, you know, really rough, and I did the vocal on it, and then I don't know, it was a while later, Kylie called me and told me that she had gone in and done a vocal on it.
Oh, so that was independent? Like you?
Yeah, we didn't even, that was possibly, they were maybe going to, you know, it was maybe going to be a Kylie song.
Oh.
And then, I think because Kylie and I are kind of have our thing.
Right. You and Kylie are friends.
Yes. We're really good friends, and we've collaborated a lot together. And so the girls just decided to put both of us on it. And and then they got Nile Rodgers to play guitar on it because they ended up meeting him and becoming friends with him. I got a vocal on a Tyga track coming out, which I'm very excited about, and I just heard that the other day.
I wasn't trying to lure you into telling me stuff that's coming
out. No, but
that wasn't the point. I was like,
I'm very excited about it. He's not only a friend and a collaborator, we've made a lot of stuff together, but he's my favorite DJ and one of my favorite producers. I love him so much. And so I'm really excited that we're going to have a new song come out. We've done a bunch of stuff in the past, and this one is smoking. It's really, really good.
Wow.
And then I've got this musical I'm writing with Elton that's well underway. I've written like 20 songs.
And it's, do people know about this?
They don't know what it is.
But there's something that you're working on with Elton John.
Yeah, there's an original musical that we're making.
Wow.
And it's it's the momentum's going on that. I mean, it's we're going into workshop mode and stuff. So crazy. That's really exciting. The music is great.
So he's doing the music and you're doing the lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it all kind of, you know, we sort of make it all in the studio at once.
Right.
I'll come in with lyrics and then we, you know, the recording that is so much fun.
We talked about Other Boys. We talked about how you have another single coming out. Is that kind of the direction you're going now? Kind of like solo work and things that seem right? Is that kind of, are you trying to do a solo thing now?
I don't really want to do a solo thing. I'm going to make a record. I don't know necessarily what it's... I've never really wanted to do a solo record. I've always found that thought really depressing because I just like to work with other people and I like things that are kind of a little bit bigger than that. I don't know. I just feel like a solo record just, it kind of gives me the wheelies a little bit, but... Okay.
So could you mask it like you call it something else? Like you...
Maybe. I'm going to figure that out as it goes along. I mean, I've got a handful of really great songs that I love, and yeah, I'm going to be making a record. I don't know exactly
I'm looking for answers, Jake.
I know, there's no answers
Tell
yet.
Me.
There's no answers yet.
As Jake's manager is behind me going, no, you're not. You're not going to say a gosh darn thing right now.
No, but I'm very I'm excited about making more music. And I don't think there's going to be a Scissors record anytime in the near future. Baby Daddy's very happy doing just loads of session songwriting and loving it and jumping between kind of L.A. and New York and London. And, you know, he's kind of got his whole thing going on. We spend a lot of time together and we've actually been writing together some. And, we always have a great time writing. We write great stuff together. So
I mean, you're friends. You're still friends.
He's like my brother.
Yeah, like you were BFFs before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've always been sort of confused by, kind of what happened, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I was always just sort of confused by what happened because it seemed like 3 years ago, Scissor Sisters said, "Okay, we're gonna take a vacation."
Yeah.
Because it was like basically 3 years ago. Like next month is when was the last run of shows.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everyone's kind of done their own thing. Like, you know, Animatronics is like sort of a presenter in a lot of places, and Del Marquis has his own project, and you're doing your own stuff.
Yeah.
Is it sort of just like we're taking a vacation for a while so we all don't hate each other?
No. I think we had done 10 solid years on the road and just 4 records. Kiki happened, which was so
completely
fun,
out of the blue
and like a nice, just a great surprise. And I kind of felt like I was just so happy with sort of where we were at for the first time. I kind of felt like we'd done what we'd set out to do in the long run. And I didn't really feel like there was a lot more to be said at the moment through that filter. And I've got faith that'll change. You know, I think we'll get inspired again and you know, want to make another record eventually. But I just didn't feel like the world necessarily needed another Scissor Sisters album right away.
People need music from all of you, in whatever form that may take. Because that's sort of the brilliance of all of you is that you're all such creative individuals and so special. It's like, you know, we kind of want to get whatever we can from all of you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll gladly take the Other Boys. I'll gladly take whatever Del Marquis wants to serve me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever fun side project that you want to give me. Cause I just like that magic.
Yeah. Everyone's got, everyone's very special in this band. And, I can't wait to make another Scissors record now. I mean, I am really excited about doing another record. I don't think Baby Daddy he's just not crazy about touring. I think touring that gets to be the really hard part. It's like, but we love playing shows, but
he's basically Christine McVie you right now.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to fly anymore.
I would go on tour again at this point, but I don't know if anybody else is chomping at the bit to be on the road.
Yeah.
Cause it's a blast and it's really rewarding. but it's also a real drag. I love doing theater. I mean, I love writing for theater, and I really enjoy being on stage. It's a huge challenge. I'm doing a Moises cast me in a one night reading of his play Gross and Decency, and it's going to be on October 5th in New York.
Cool.
And the cast, it's crazy.
Who
it's
else like is in the show?
Sally Field and David Hyde Pierce and Judith Light and
sure
Jonathan Groff, and I mean, it's the ooh whole cast is, it's a wild cast.
Wow.
So I'm excited to, I mean, I'm terrified.
I was like excited slash like totally like terrified.
Terrified. I'm playing a rent boy, which will be kind of fun.
that's wow.
I mean, it's not, I don't know, it's not that much of a stretch.
I was gonna say, I'm like, go for the joke. Take it. That's funny. I'm like, no pressure. You're like in like with a bunch of like Tony Award winning actors.
Oh, it's crazy.
Academy Award winners.
It's crazy.
You can sort of do like whatever you want right now. I mean, you can. Is that freeing in a way where you're just like, you know, you're not on that. You described that sort of schedule. Like, when you do an album, you're on the promo road and you're doing tour. Now you can just kind of like, I can do kind of whatever I want. Like,
it's nice. It can get a little, you know, sometimes when there can be moments where I'm like, I have too much free time on my hands. And then there's with sort of my finger in multiple pots right now.
Right.
Sometimes it gets
right
overwhelming with all the stuff going
on. Because you went for a break for like, I don't have anything to do. Let me make some calls. You're like, oh, crap. Now I've got six things that I'm doing.
Exactly. So it comes in waves, but it is exciting.
Wow.
I'm kind of overall, I'm most excited about making another record.
Whatever form that may be.
Whatever that's going to end up being, that's kind of what I'm most excited about doing.
Was the Scissor Sisters called something else before it was the Scissor Sisters?
Oh, there was some. No, not really.
I was like, you use whatever that name was.
Not really. Yeah, I don't know what. Don't know,
you're
what
like,
I'm call
not
it
really. We're not going to say whatever it was. Now I have to go Google it because I don't know. I'm curious now. Well, that's it. Unless I'm missing something really crucial that you want to talk about.
No, I'm that's good.
Yay!
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jake. Well,
thanks again to Jake and Kylie Minogue for stopping by the Pop Shop Podcast. Very cool to have both of them on. Close collaborators and very cool artists. Keith.
Yes.
Are you ready for this week's Chart Stat of the Week?
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting to the point where we've done so many chart stats, I'm fearing that I'll have actually talked about something that I've talked about before. So if I have, please let me know. And this week's Chart Stat of the Week is actually about an artist whose name I have difficulty pronouncing.
Nice.
But I believe it's Miko, M-E-C-O. Miko, who, of course, was famous for hitting number one on the Billboard Hot 100 on October 1st, 1977, this week in 1977. Miko's Star Wars theme hit number one. It was sort of a disco-fied take on the famed theme that John Williams wrote for the film Star Wars. Everything was like Star Wars crazy that year in 1977. His number one hit trumped the number 10 peak of the movie's actual theme song, which was performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. Miko would later chart further interpretations from this next start. From them, I'm having so much trouble.
Hey, it's okay, man. Take your time.
Should I start over, or are we okay?
No, we're fine.
We're fine. It's cool. It sounds like I'm... Anyway, he would later chart further interpretations from the next two Star Wars films, The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. I'm fairly certain that he's probably not involved with the next Star Wars film that comes out this Christmas. But hey, you never know.
That'd be pretty cool.
He could turn out like a new sort of like funky disco version of whatever the next theme song will be, and maybe it'll become a Hot 100 hit. But anyway, this week in 1977, Miko hit number one with the Star Wars theme.
It's pretty crazy to think of the Star Wars theme being number one. Like, what's number one on the Hot 100 right now? The Star Wars theme.
Well, the disco-fied, like, sort of-ish Star Wars. Anyway, there you
thank
go.
You, Keith, for your Chart Stat of the Week. All right, man, that is going to do it for this week's Pop Shop podcast. Keith, it's been great to get back. What a time to be alive, as Drake and or Future might say.
Yes.
We'll be back next week. Keith, do you have any parting words?
I don't.
All right, man, let's go out on...
A Kylie track?
Kylie track. Which Kylie track? You want to do Love at First Sight? Let's do Love at First Sight.
Sure.
Thank you for listening, and take care.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.